Are you wondering how you can contribute to Funniest Thing?
Don't flip out. Go to patreon.com/funniest thing.
Whoa!
Oh!
I landed that.
Oh!
That would have been crazy.
This one is called The Pants. Take 8.
Yoga!
Welcome to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed, the best-looking guys on the radio. We all know the funniest things happen when we stop taking ourselves too seriously and step out boldly, like Mr. Magoo blindly stepping onto the next swinging girder and falling into an outrageous jackpot. Your hosts, Daryl and Ed, are about to administer a refreshing dose of laughter and love that will inspire you to step out boldly and experience the funniest things. Now, here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed.
Welcome to The Funniest Thing.
Yeah, baby.
Where each week we share stories about how stepping out boldly always leads to better than expected outcomes.
Yes, it does.
I'm Daryl.
I'm Ed.
And we're broadcasting live from Chobo Studios in...
beautiful downtown Van Nuys.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Indy on the whiteboard getting creative today. What do we got?
The funniest thing, man.
Yes, I.
Aye, aye.
All right. How's your week going, Indy?
Doing great, doing great. Have some new clients. It's been fun. We've been podding like a mofo over here at Chobo Studios.
Nice. Can people check that out anywhere or what?
The new show we're doing, it's called Finding Family DNA. It's on YouTube and podcast apps. It's an adoption show where cool. People, you know, the private investigators go over, you know, finding people's birth parents.
Yes.
So that's going live May 1st on Birth Parent Finder. Oh, sorry. Finding Family DNA on YouTube.
Great. Well, today's show is called What's New with Stephen Bruni and Dakota Ledford. Excuse me. The desire for a change for the better is the divine nudge of progress. Quench not the spirit. If you're not clear what it is that would bring you more fulfillment, ask God for a sign. You will get one, and you'll know it when you see it because it will feel good. Believe beyond any doubt that spirit is guiding you to your highest and best. Do not be discouraged or dissuaded by the opinions of others or your own limiting ideas. Affirm that you have mountain-moving faith to do whatever you are called to do in the most positive and effortless ways for the highest good. On this episode, Daryl and Ed encourage listeners to not put the e-brake on their greater good. And during the second segment, the bold-believing Stephen Bruni and the daring Dakota Ledford get us imagining what we really want, not just what we think we can probably have. With today's reading, believe in yourself, for crying out loud.
Self with a capital S.
Self with a capital S, indeed.
Now, did I share the etymology of genuine genius and genie?
Yeah, well, say it again, man.
Well, because S, the capital S in self is what we're talking about. Not the diminishing little self that I think knows best because it's fearful.
Right.
We're talking about that intuitive nudge, those positive intuitive nudges. And that's what quench not the spirit means. It means not shooing away those voices when we get a sign and go, oh, man, I would love to do that. And you could see yourself. But that's going to take a lot of work. That's quenching the spirit.
That's right.
I just read something before the show that goes along with this idea, and then I'll give you the quick etymology of those words. And do not visualize or force a picture. It will flash into your consciousness from the super consciousness, meaning that when we get these signs, they're always delightful. They always seem beyond our ability, almost as if it's a fantasy. And then the problem is we quench the spirit. You know, the spirit within that gave us that feeling.
Right.
But that spirit, now that I looked up these words, so I'm doing that workshop The intuitive method.
Yes. You know, this is like another classic bizarre I'm going to point out. This is how this stuff is always made new. Because we have talked about genuine and genius before. But when it comes back around, it's always just as good as the first time. So this not doesn't diminish. But I'm just saying, every day we're made new. And this is one of those examples. So go ahead.
Second time around, baby. You know that song? Was better than the first time?
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. We might have to sing that one.
The millionth time around is better. Keeps getting better and better, man.
Well, what we're talking about, getting that sign, you know it when you feel it. Unfortunately, a lot of the time, because we dismiss it.
Yeah.
And that's why the biblical verse, quench not the spirit, it's talking about quench meaning extinguish. I was talking to someone. I said, quench not the spirit. He goes, I never liked that. Because he actually thought, because of advertising, this quenches your thought. He thought the word quench meant increasing it.
Mm.
Or satisfying,
right?
But it actually, yeah, I can see that, but it actually, I could
I
see.
I never thought about that. Yeah, quench your thirst.
Yeah, but it really means extinguish. That's the definition,
yeah. Right? Because I don't. Yeah, because extinguishing your thirst is what you're doing.
Yes,
it's not the same as satisfying.
No. So it, and then there's some in some editions of the Bible. It just flat out says, "Do not quench the spirit." So, because I'm doing a class that's about drawing intuitively, and a lot of people use the word, oh, he's talented. Oh, he's such a genius.
Right.
Like it's something other people have bestowed upon them.
Yeah.
And I'm just not one of those people.
Right.
You know, because I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that's good for them. What's the use? I'm not even going to begin.
Yes.
But here's the great news. Genius, genie, and genuine are all the same. And I'm just going to read it from here because I actually brought this just in case.
Beautiful.
And hang on, folks. Give me a minute.
This is the actual ledger from which Daryl is teaching his, what's it called?
The intuitive method.
This is big stuff. Daryl stepped out boldly, started teaching the intuitive method this week via Zoom.
Oh, it was fantastic.
And the crazy part is, and the beautiful part is that it's a bunch of our favorite ministers from Unity getting their own boost. You know, like so oftentimes our show it functions to reinvigorate the people who are doing this stuff in more like corporate settings where they're ministers and stuff. So this is kind of a big demonstration of something Daryl and I have desired and been talking about. And Daryl stepped out boldly and started this week, and I know it went well.
Yes. It's basically finding God through art making.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Because that's what really, and so I go, okay, I have a funny feeling those three words are related. Because I was telling the first class was quench not the spirit, let the genie out of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was just my intuitive because it feels good. Let the genie out of the bottle,
yeah.
Right? Because the genie performs magic for us.
Right. That's the same genie that gave you that title, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
That's what I'm going to get to.
Yeah.
So genius is from Latin and it means tutelary or moral spirit. Now, I didn't know what tutelary was. It's related to tutelage. Uh-huh. And it actually means advisory, custodial, like parental care.
Uh-huh.
But here's the thing, and we all know what moral spirit is. Our conscience goes, no, I don't think you should do that, Daryl. No, it's okay. Everyone does that.
Right.
Yeah, it's the same quenching of the spirit. So it's so genius is a tutelary or moral spirit who guides and governs an individual through life. And Latin genius is synonymous with guardian. And it's a deity or spirit which watches over each person from birth. And that's what genuine comes in. Because genuine means it's natural. It's not acquired.
Right.
So we all have this genius within. Genie is French, which literally means tutelary spirit.
Mm.
So when we're quenching the spirit, we're quenching the genie within. That is guiding us to wonderful things and has the means to make it come about.
Yeah.
So I just need to stop limiting that spirit. Like quench not the spirit means to stop telling myself, no, that's not possible. oh no, it must be something worse. Oh, there's got to be, it must be a lot harder than it seems. As long as I stay out of the way.
Yeah.
And the next week's show is going to be Treat the Treatment, and it's coming up. And just keep reinforcing the fact that I know that, no, this is going to come about. I don't know how.
Right.
But I'm not going to argue against my good. I'm not going to quench the spirit. I'm not going to try to shove the genie back in the bottle.
Yeah.
Because that's what we do when we don't follow those leadings. And right. The only reason we don't follow those leadings, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll read this one line. This is from Neville Goddard. We brought up Reverend Michael Schoonover before. And if you go to unityway.com and ask Michael Schoonover, you could contact him through there, unityway.com.
Or you could email him at unityway@unityway.com.
Yeah, that's easy too. unityway@unityway.com. And you'll get these, all this great old metaphysical stuff that just, there's, the great thing is it doesn't dance around these ideas.
Yes.
It just boom. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't water them down. And here it says from Neville Goddard, for if man is ever hindered, it can only be the state of consciousness in which he abides that hinders him. Man is freed or constrained by reason of the state of mind in which he persists.
Oh, man, that's good.
So this whole episode is really about how many becoming aware of when these fleeting ideas come up, just don't dismiss them. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
And the other temptation is, oh, this means I got to really make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that means I'm not, that's the other Bible verse, which I got to remember, of myself, I'm nothing. And this goes into the Mary Williamson reading you're going to do. Of myself, I'm nothing. It's the Father within that does the work. Or if you don't like the word Father within, we know that genius means that same thing.
Yeah.
So if you or genie, you could say, you know, of myself, I'm nothing. Of myself, I'm nothing. I'm not going to put the genie back in the bottle. I'm just going to believe, and this is treating the treatment, that God is bringing it about or the genie is working on my behalf.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that genie is tutelary spirit, which is intuition,
yeah,
which is God within. Mm-hmm. Isn't this stuff amazing?
Yeah.
And it's genuine. That's the genuine you.
Yeah. That's
when
what
I'm
really
saying
love.
No to it, I'm mm-hmm. saying no to, that's when we're being mean to ourselves. I'm saying no to the genuine me, that wonder child that went, woo, this is a great idea. Shut up. That's stupid.
Yeah.
What are you thinking? That's too difficult. You don't have the talent for that. Think about that self-abuse that gets in the way. But the great news is, folks, all we got to do is stop with the self-abuse and just enjoy that idea.
Man, this is awesome. This is truly awesome. This is what, everything you're saying is so, it's life-changing because when things get off the rails, it's so hard to not think it's happening to me. And because it really is like what Florence Scovel Shinn calls a soul sleep. Start dreaming of these nightmares, and I start projecting it onto yes. you and Bruni and Dakota.
Or my body.
Indy, my body. People that aren't even in the room. There's this whole nightmare, and it seems like it's happening out there, but it's just this insane dream that's being triggered. I mean, I went through it yesterday when I went to the beach. I was like, I had all this self-judgment. It really comes down to the self-judgment, the self-criticism. Like, when I get in that space, which we are taught, I was conditioned, I was taught to that if I let my joy out in the wrong situation, that it was, we talked about this on our last week's show, this, that you could be considered like a troublemaker. I could have been, like, when really I just had these joyous experiences of who I really am. And I, you know, if those fell outside of the box, then it was like trouble, right? Like you're trying to make trouble. But.
And it's not even the world that's saying that. It's maybe a one family member that.
Or
that
a teacher. Scolded,
or one teacher. And now you, I've put it onto everything. Because
yes.
just this morning, I can't believe you bring this up. So just this morning, I had to remind myself I drew myself a little drawing so I'd get the message. I'm holding it up if you're watching on YouTube. But anyway, this is not to be judged as good or bad art. This is just for me, let the genie out of the bottle so I could feel good.
Yes, sir.
You know, we do this stuff for ourselves. I had to remind myself, I can stop tiptoeing, overly concerned about being judged. And I mean letting out the joyful things, being unapologetically me. Because none of the things I want to freely do are harmful to others. It's just, I get afraid to, you know, it could happen with a card dealer. It could happen with someone who recently asked me to do some artwork for them and how much it would cost. I could start thinking, well, I don't want them to not like, this is what's going on subconsciously.
Oh, I hear that. Yeah.
You know, I'll start going, well, I guess this is an okay deal. When I'm thinking, oh, I don't want them to not like me. Or, well, I guess a fair price is such and such. But I'm not really saying that fair price. That fair price is an unfair price to me.
Yes.
Because the underlying thought is, you know, I don't want them to think that's bad of me.
And then we're not listening to the genie.
No.
We're not listening to our inner genius. And the thing is, it may have been one person that said it to us or one teacher, but I can say for in public schools, it is an institutionalized belief that if your creativity falls outside of the lines of what the class
that's true.
And especially if you start buying into it, you start projecting it. It's like Reverend Ike said, you don't just internalize thoughts. You internalize the whole personality of the person where that thought came from. So now that voice is in there going this, and it is absurd. And I'm so glad you're pointing that out because it takes letting go of a lot of pride to realize the real reason why. Like I was afraid to bring my car in because the starter was having an issue because of all, oh, they're going to judge me. They're not going to like me. They're this, they're that.
They're going to blame me for it.
But the good news is I used affirmative thought. I called Silent Unity on my way to the dealer. I brought it in. They replaced the starter. It was under warranty. And I drove out of there like so happy. The vision of all I wanted was to be driving this car, which I love, which is my VW. And it's like, to me, it's a luxury car, has everything I want. But that little thing was somehow kind of connecting with my whole worldview, my whole sense of worth and all that crap. But then the key of what you're saying is the liberation is that it comes from anyone can say anything they want about me, about the world.
Yeah.
Once I internalize it, that's when it starts to affect my experience. So
the
key to get out of it, and this is why you got to have a morning routine of meditation, affirmative prayer, reading, because the liberation, I used to try to fight with all the people that I thought were putting me down, and I just would get stuck more and more because what I was saying is, it's real. You have power over me. It's real. I have to somehow wrestle it away. But when I stopped doing that, and we have a lot of different ways of doing it. I realize when I go into the silence, and this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, go into the room and close the door. Don't worry about praying in front of everybody and putting on a big show. Go inside yourself. Shift your beliefs.
Yeah.
Meditate so that you feel your divinity. You know your divinity. No one can shake it. Once I know it, I know it. And from there, affirm what's real for me. Affirm how I'm going to have a great show, how I'm going to show up today. Don't go out and try to change others. Become that change. And the beauty of the change is that it's just becoming more of myself. The right people will love me even more without me even saying it. They'll notice the difference. And I get to reap the rewards first and foremost, which is the most amazing thing. So like yesterday when I was in a funk, I couldn't do anything other than just like, I knew it was coming from within me, but it was feeling very real. But I said, you know, I'm just going to sit in this coffee shop and enjoy this coffee until I remember who I am. Like I am going to have another thought's going to come along that's going to connect me, the genie.
Yes.
I'm so happy we're talking about this because when I was younger, I remember feeling that, wow, there's a voice inside me that is kind of guiding me and is interested in things and kind of figures things out for me. And then I remember going, well, that's just a silly voice. Like, you know what I'm saying?
But no, now, that's the good voice.
That's the
good voice.
And the story that good voice is telling has nothing to do with what the fear is telling us. God says now, like the genie says, now is the time to shed the fear. Now, and don't wait until the job gets better. Don't wait until the car changes. Don't wait until this, that, or the other thing. be it now, because the moment I'm it now, I already feel good, and the rest is just like the icing on the cake. But in the meanwhile, I get to experience heaven on earth.
Well, that's reminding me also that when I'm acting that way, when you're in that mood, just watch when you're in that feeling of, oh, I better not tell him that this yeah. meatloaf sandwich is ice cold. I'll just eat it and I'll be angry at them. But that you don't, that's not my real self. It feels so bad. I'm not my I don't feel confident. I don't feel self-approval in those moments. I'm not me. I am not me. So here's the great news. Every time you ask for what you want, when you feel like yourself, people are happy to give it to you.
Yeah.
When you ask for what you feel you're worth, people are either happy or they're going to say no. But the great news is the ones that say no would have been problem clients anyway. And the ones that say yes are the ones that really value you. Mm-hmm. And the more you do this, it feels so good that you start believing it more and more for the next time. You start believing the old idea of yourself less and less. And I've been having to get rid of, I had, for the longest time, I was thinking, oh God, I got to go in there. They're going to take my blood pressure. It's going to be high. And I would feel this way because I think somehow it's my fault.
Right.
That my blood pressure is a certain way.
That's like me in the car. Right.
And they're going to judge me
as
being like this jerk who has high blood pressure. Like, it's almost like I'm thinking, oh, this guy's going to come in here and he abuses all of us and calls us like profane names and shouts at us. Like, but that's not what they're thinking. That's what I'm thinking.
That's right.
I'm thinking that. And the more you get over that, because I've been having to get myself over that, and even thinking about my body as if it's under attack and this is the end, and it never, like, these things that are, you know, it's not like a broken arm. It must be something serious.
Right.
Well, I'm abusing myself with those thoughts. I'm not rooting for my body. I'm rooting for the opposing team.
Totally.
And I was telling myself, no. We're going to start rooting for the body. We're not going to root for the opposing team by telling ourselves these nightmares. It really is a lesson we could all learn. I'm really getting into it. This is not like a plug for this workshop, but this workshop, by giving it and applying it with my full attention, like, I've always drawn and created this way for myself. I mean, in the beginning, I didn't. That's why I quit and ran into the military. But I've learned since it's the only way to fly.
Well, you did it, but then you didn't trust it.
I didn't trust it.
Yeah.
I didn't trust it. So, but when you're sharing this stuff with others, and this is why all of you who listen to this show, you know, you hear these things, but you're also teachers. Even if you're just applying it in your everyday life, people are seeing you and bearing witness to, wow, he's a nice guy, or she's a loving person, or wow, I like being around them.
Yeah.
But the more you're aware of applying it in your life, which is teaching it, and, or if you're sharing it with another person, because you've experienced, like, holy cow, this happened to me, and this stuff really works.
Yes.
Well, you become more and more hyper aware of what works and what doesn't work. And you also become more in tune with your genie, your genius. So by doing this workshop with that much of focus, because I'm sharing how to do it with other people, because normally I'm just doing it without thinking about what I'm doing, that it's really been very therapeutic.
Awesome.
Because it's really showing me with each line I draw where I go, ooh, this will be fun. And then my mind will go, like, this will be fun to draw this in this way. And then the mean-spirited, concerned parent says, I think you better do this. And I go, no, that's quenching the spirit.
Yeah.
And you got to keep going with the joyful feeling. Well, this doesn't look perfect. I got to draw the arm like this. No, That's Mama B telling me things. No, just go with the spirit. And you get more and more delighted and more confident. And that confidence, even if it's from me drawing, well, that same confidence is actually feeding my faith in my intuition, in the Christ within, in that knowing power.
Yes.
So I've become less and less apt to quench it.
Yep. And it's the only reliable power.
Yes.
We're talking about this lately. That fearful, bad feeling stuff, not only does it feel bad, it does not work. It costs more money, it costs more time, and it is not reliable. Anyone who's done anything, you have to have the spirit in you. And in order to have the spirit, we have to value ourselves enough to let our true feeling and our true voice come out. And in so doing so, we end up blessing the very people that we thought, like when I talked to my mother yesterday and on the phone, and she kind of was in this state, and it was like, oh, I was starting to sink into that doubt and that what I was feeling being projected outward. But I had to clear that out this morning when I did my morning routine, and I had to wake up early and just like put my mind through the washing machine and let go of these limiting beliefs and come back. And it really wasn't hard work. It was the opposite. It was stop working so hard, Ed. Stop being so afraid. Relax. All is well. And all those old stories evaporated. And then I just blast her with a text of just pure love. Great talking to you yesterday. And just shot her because I came back into myself where none of those nightmares were real. And that's the way we can bless. And that's the way where Jesus said, forgive them for they know not what they do. But first we got to get out of the nightmare and remember who we are.
Well, and Jesus multiplied the loaves and fishes, not the
loaves.
That's right.
Marianne Williamson, in her book, Year of Miracles, Day 95, said, she's talking about all the amazing things. Our lungs breathe, our heart beats, our ears hear. We don't have to do anything to make this stuff happen. She says, I can let my life be directed by the same force that makes flowers grow, or I could do it myself. To trust in the force that moves the universe is faith. Faith isn't blind, it's visionary. Faith is believing that the universe is on my side and that the universe knows what it's doing. Faith is a psychological awareness of an old unfolding force for good, constantly at work in all dimensions. My attempt to direct this force only interferes with it. My willingness to relax into it allows it to work on my behalf. Without faith, I'm frantically trying to control what is not my business to control and fix what is not in my power to fix. What I'm trying to control is much better off without me, and what I'm trying to fix can't be fixed by me anyway. Without faith, I'm wasting time.
Yeah. The other day, I was really applying the winning combination. The other day, yesterday.
Yes.
I became hyper aware of, you know what? The only way I can go through this day is with faith and love. That's it. If I start thinking scary thoughts about anything.
Yes.
Anything. I'm shaking it off and I'm going back to faith, which is joyful expectancy that this stuff works, and love.
That's right.
But you can't fail with those two ideas because they rule everything else out.
Yes.
And everything else is the only thing that causes problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about in our own minds. Any other thing in my own mind is what stifles my spirit and causes me to act in ways that are ineffective at best, and at worst, cause more problems.
Yeah, you're going right to the cause of life, which is actually love. When I'm up on that cliff of fear, I just got to jump off.
Yes!
And fly. Wing it, as we talked about.
Wing it!
Which is, yeah.
Trusting the angels.
Trusting the angels, trusting the genie.
We're going to wing it.
And you talked about the loaves and fishes. We'll talk about, we'll read this. We got a couple of little postcards, and then we'll bring in our guests.
And 3 breaths.
Oh, yeah, 3 breaths. But in You Too Can Be Prosperous by Robert A. Russell, I highly recommend it. Be frank with yourself. What have you been seeking these many years? Answer me. Have you been seeking the spirit of things or just the things? Jesus said, you seek after the loaves and fishes and you cannot find me. Why not? What were you supposed to seek? You were supposed to seek the pure substance of spirit. You were supposed to worship the cause instead of the effect. Then, did you not hear the thrilling command? Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. not a quarter full, not a half full, but pressed down and running over.
Yeah, I think just for the sake of clarifying that, it means when I am thinking I need something to make me happy, right? I have a thing like, okay, yeah, this, you know, once we get this more money or once right, we, this works out at the store or the this condition gets yes, repaired, then I'm going to be happy. What he's saying, and it's the only thing that works, is no, happiness is what you're going for.
Yes.
So treat for happiness.
Yes.
Then those other things will be added. Or yep, if it's for approval, I want this so people like me. Well, then treat for approval. I'm approved. I approve of myself. God approves of myself.
Yeah.
And others approve of me that's too. Right. These are just little affirmations from Florence Scovel Shinn. And know that I am not happy because I'm rich. I'm rich because I'm happy.
Right. Yeah. And take the evidence that you already have.
Yes.
The way that things are already working out and multiply those in your awareness. Recognize that those, it's so insane to think that things aren't going to work out. Everything pretty much is already working out and has worked out so many times before. Multiply and magnify that in your awareness, in your consciousness, and then carry that consciousness out. And you'll end up blessing the people that before you were worried about getting. I blessed the people at Volkswagen. I really did. And when I came back to get my car and it came in a day earlier than they thought and the starter was delivered earlier and the woman happened to be wrong about what she thought in the beginning was the problem, even though I was like, that doesn't sound right. I blessed her. When I came back, we were high-fiving each other. She was so happy to tell me it had been fixed and that this and that. And
high-fiving?
Yeah, I'm not even...
He's a high-fiver. You're on a high-fiver diet? You didn't tell me.
Do you know how many people Jesus high-fived? You need to get into it. All right. Quick postcard for Turkey. The forward... I've seen you high-five more people than you know. The forward look is the Godward look. My heaven will never be unless I make it out of the materials of my own thinking. That's exactly what we're talking about. That's from Raymond Charles Barker and Ernest Holmes from Kirky. Oh, there's a beautiful picture. If you're not on the YouTube, get on the YouTube and take a look at what we're working with here. We almost have 700 subscribers. Man, that thing's growing. We're not even talking about it. It's amazing. So thank you all for tuning in there. If you're on YouTube, you can go to any podcast app and find us and take us around with you in your car. We love Lois Conklin. She is amazing. She shares her gifts. She makes postcards. She has a quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson. The purpose of life is not to be happy, but it is to be useful. To be, what does this say? To be honorable, to be compassionate, to have it make some difference that you have lived and live well.
All that makes me happy.
I was going to say, if you're not getting happiness with that, I'm sorry, Mr. Emerson, but shove it.
Yeah.
This should come along with joy. It's part of the package. And she says, hi, you continue to have super great shows every week. I love your guests. Thank you for sharing the thank you song and then letting me do a joyous rendition. Life just keeps on giving. Card by Lois. Thank you, Lois. We appreciate you. Thank you to everyone contributing through Patreon who's been showing up at the Tuesday Patreon prosperity classes at 4 p.m. Pacific. If you're on the Patreon, you know what I'm talking about. And all the people who have been watching it afterwards and enjoying it.
Yep.
Even though the Zoom quality of the video is
crap.
It leaves a lot to be desired. We appreciate the fact that you're enjoying it. Oh, by the way, Karina Ostashek, who actually messaged us to get find out how to get a Fillmore Bible and then emailed Mark Hicks and got
one for free.
She was so excited. She says, I listen to the podcast when driving in my car, sometimes several times a week. I get something new from the podcast every week. Well, we're glad you do, because so do we. All right, today's this breaths.
Oh, thank Jeff Comfort real quick.
Each week.
Jeff Comfort, if you're listening to this, you know he takes us
right into the comfort zone.
All right. I just love this book, Dare to Believe by Mae Rowland. It's a Unity classic. She led Silent Unity for 50 years, for crying out loud. I just get a boost reading the pages, even if she's just talking about some rather mundane things. But here she says, from the early beginnings of the Unity work, The keynote of it has been joy. Because Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, who founded this work, listen to this, thought of prayer as a joyous state of mind.
Prayer is a joyous state of mind, not a, whoa.
Mr. Fillmore loved to quote this lilting line, "Let the old world wag as it will, I will be gay and happy still." And just as he was a happy man, this is happy work.
So that's our three breaths.
Yeah, let's take a deep breath to clear our mind. Let the old world wag as it will, I will be gay and happy still.
Let the old world wag as it will, I will be gay and happy still.
Let the old world wag as it will,
I will be gay and happy still.
Yes. The true test of that line is when the old world in my friggin' brain is wagging. Will I allow myself to be gay and happy still and not hide in a hole or judge the people around me, but get out and live, man? Be gay and happy still. The old world doesn't matter if it's in my own brain. It's still crap.
Or if it's on the news, it's all crap.
Yeah, exactly. But sometimes it's easier to judge it out there. But when that's playing in my brain, still gotta be gay and happy still. Coming up next, the bold believing Stephen Bruni and the daring Dakota Ledford get us imagining what we really want, not just what we think we can probably have. With today's reading, Believe in Yourself, for crying out loud. Thank you for listening to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed from Trobo Studios.
We now return to The Funniest Thing. Here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed, the best-looking guys on the radio.
All right, welcome back. Funniest Thing. Daryl, I'm Ed. That's Stephen Bruni. That's Dakota Ledford. They're here in the studio. Today's show is called What's New. It was actually originally called What's Next. It still could be called that, but it's always new.
Yeah.
It always... That's the beauty of this stuff. It renews our spirit. It renews. It's constantly renewing who I am and bringing me back to myself, bringing us back to ourselves. It's never too late. It's always the perfect time. So you two have listened to us speak. Does anyone want to share anything while we get started here? Bruni, I know you're always good for a thought.
Or two. No, I liked what you guys said about something to the effect of like settling for less, right? Or like having that quenching that thing that happens there. And I started to think when Daryl was talking about one of the things he was talking about, that we have this idea that you know, I shouldn't be myself when I'm in certain situations because they won't like me as much. And I was thinking like, man, it's always been for me when I tried to like seek validation by quenching that thing, I was never accepted to the same extent as I am. When I'm like, I don't even care what you guys think. This is just who I am. People are like, this guy's great because he is just who he is. And that's like when I get accepted, is when I have that little piece of authenticity. You know, that's right. What makes us unique.
Yeah, it's the genuine you being revealed.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking how important that is when we get those, because Daryl wrote the description about the inner nudge that wants us to go in an inspiring new direction, and how important it is to be able to, even to our own mind, just be like, I don't care. I got the inspiration. I trust that somehow it is going to happen. You know, it's going to manifest. You know, to trust that there is actually more to it than just, it's not just that thought. There's a intelligence behind that thought that actually knows more than what my rational mind knows about. I mean, I'm going through, my school is, I had 2 weeks off teaching in a public school. So the other day I woke up like, oh, it's coming again and starting again on Monday. And all the old stress and stuff that was associated with that before these 2 weeks of being like, oh, I remember who I am and I'm free, started to come back up. And I had, and it started to go, yeah, like, tell me that that voice is like, yeah, it was nice that you had all this time to think about what you'd really like to be doing, but now it's time to forget all that. And then you're going back, you know, and you're stuck and it's not going to, and oh no, it's never going to happen, you know. And I had to say, that voice is inconsequential. The good is already underway and I'm going with it. It is happening. Like, and it takes me to be like a child. Like they say, like Jesus said, be like a child to enter the kingdom. And we have to, that's why I love having Daryl around. We got to be like a child to continually enter this kingdom, because the world will say, I don't know what world it is and I don't care where you hear it, but by 30, you do this, 40, you do this, 50, it's too late, la, la, la. And I'm almost 50. And it's like, none of that even matters. If spirit inside is nudging me to do it, it's going to happen. It can happen.
Look, you had three great quotes that go along with this, especially what you just said.
Yeah.
Two are from artists. Oh, they're all artists, actually. So the first one is, to trust your intuition is exactly the opposite of any sort of formal education.
Yeah.
That's Chris Burden, who's an artist. Mm. Here's the second one. You don't, because this is something we tell ourselves when we get excited about doing something that we've had the idea to do. Well, this eliminates trying to quench that idea. You don't need a certificate. Just do it or not do it. That's Lawrence Wiener, or Weiner. He's an artist.
Are you allowed to say Wiener on this podcast?
When it's a last name, yes. Okay. And and the last one, I believe in German, it's Weiner. Yeah. So the last one's by Paul Arden, who was an incredible designer and ad man, Saatchi and Saatchi in England. Don't be afraid of silly ideas. Is his way of saying, don't quench the spirit. Don't be afraid of silly ideas.
Well, and I think you said it's the feel behind it as well, on top of the voice. Yeah. And when you guys were talking to me, randomly I got this thought that I hadn't had in years. And I can remember, let's see, this was probably almost 12 years ago when I first started practicing all this stuff. And due to a colorful past in my 20s, I hadn't worked in a while. And I remember I was going back into the quote-unquote normal job field. And I had two interviews for a job, and I can remember going to one interview, and the guy told me, it's yours if you want it. And I said, well, I have one other thing. I want to fulfill my obligations to go meet with these other people, and then I'll let you know. But it was already a sure shot. And I went to the second one. I didn't really understood what they did there, and I went to that second job interview. And the second job interview, they offered me the job as well. The second job interview was for, at that time, a substantially less pay than the first one. And I remember something in my gut said, go with the less pay, which was insane to me at the time. Just the thought of, like, let's take less pay is just exactly the opposite of what the world would ever tell you to do.
Right. Yeah.
And I couldn't see the future of really the second one, because I didn't even know what the, I didn't even know really know what they did. But the first one, I knew that that was about the top of there. I might have maybe grown a little bit, but there wasn't very much room for growth. The second one I ended up taking and following that gut feel and not knowing really why I was taking that gut feel of why I was taking that job. And funny enough, what it ended up turning into was probably three or four times what the initial job paid.
Yes. Right.
As well as getting the opportunity to travel around the world and do all these things and meet all, like, it turned into something that I had no idea was on the other side of that door, or it even was available there, just by following that gut feel, what that looked
like. Wait, I just got you're not going to believe this. So I ripped this thing out of the Daily Word. It's exactly what you experienced. It's every, you know, it's funny. All this good spiritual stuff reassures us to do exactly what you just shared, and you shared why it always turns out to be better. Every great person who's super successful, even people who are famous and they interview them, it's always some story like that. But yet we tell ourselves most of the time, oh, that's silly, I shouldn't do it. Listen to this. This is crazy. So I tore this one out of the Daily Word because it was a good one, because it goes along with reassuring me to listen to that, to the voice you listen to. I trust and follow divine guidance. Not all callings feel logical or make sense. Sometimes I feel called to do something I would not consciously choose, yet I feel I have no real choice. Other times I may feel called to follow an unlikely path. In these moments, I place my attention on the world beyond my senses. I pay attention to my guidance, which directs not only my steps, but also my heart.
Which is tough, because I think that, like, for a long time, maybe when I was younger, they'd say things like, well, you'll know, like, you'll hear the voice, or it'll be the calling. And I would never hear anything because I was such, like, a one-dimensional thing. I thought somebody was going to be like, this is what you should take, like,
yes,
this large voice.
Me
and it's
too.
Never a voice. It's a feel, yeah, that I get. It always happens here, and it's just like a intuitive nudge. It's kind of like a, we should move in this direction. It's a knowing that I have inside, and I don't know why I know it, but I know it to be right if I sit with it for a second, instead of that,
yeah,
quenching of the ideas and letting go of that idea of like that, oh, this can't be right, oh, that's crazy, or releasing what that is.
That's topical for me right now. I'm having a lot of trouble with like like understanding. Sometimes I get mad. I get really annoyed. I'm like, we were talking about this earlier, it's the same thing. I'm like, I'm praying to just show me the way. Like, I want it to be like Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz. Like, I just want to follow the Yellow Brick Road and get to the Emerald City, and that's just like, and then go. Like, I don't want all this, and just nothing. It's very frustrating for me. And so this might be like off topic. It might be next week's topic, but still, I think like, yeah, no, it's very hard to know when you're like trying to be spiritual, trying to live with like God, trying to be like, and it doesn't feel like it's clicking. That's frustrating for me personally.
Yeah. And I think that's when it's really important to express that frustration.
Yeah.
Because oftentimes that frustration is the voice of our intuition bursting through and telling us like, what are you not listening to? You know, like not for myself. It's asking me, like, that's where I was just thinking, I started writing. And this changed my whole life. And I've been just thinking, it's so funny. Daryl's doing this class, and Daryl's the sort, once he does something, he's like full in. And it's like, I don't see him for a while. And I was like, what are you up to? Oh. And I mean, we do a show every week, and I don't know half the stuff he's doing because he goes. And I was just telling my wife, what's missing for me lately has been that creative, intuitive outlet. And then Daryl ends up doing this class and whatever. But I was thinking, when I got into this stuff, I was had so much emotion built up, and I was born. I know I was born to write lyrics and poetry and anything really that is inspiring to me, because I just started putting the pen to the paper and started writing things, poems and things that ended up turning into songs. And I never knew what they meant, right? And I remember I had this vision in my head, and I was writing, and I was into all sorts of different types of music. But I remember writing, I slide through the curves of my third eye visions. I let go of my mind and just allow my intuition to tell me that my decisions have got to be precision, because they're based upon truths that have not yet risen. And I remember thinking, I'm thinking about that now, and it's just, how are we ever going to get the joyous things that we can't yet see if I'm not tapped in to some sort of intuition and gut? And like, you read Warren Buffett, he talks about, like, he says something to the effect of, my definition of a board meeting is looking in the mirror, right? And I just thought, like, that's what I want, to be able to look in the mirror and know and trust that inner knowing.
Yeah.
Because that's what, like, that's where the good stuff that's not even on the menu. It's like going off menu and realizing the menu is infinite. The menu loves us. The chef loves us. And it's just waiting for me to go off. Like this you guys are like, these shows are so healing for me, because so many of the things, and I'm seeing it now, like all the little like doubts and fears, the voices are waking me in the middle of the night like, that's great, Ed. You want to, like, you see yourself speaking to people, you see yourself counseling people individually, working with students, but you'll never be able to make the money you're making in the school district.
Yeah, that's the worst.
I'm really uncovering that. And I've been saying, I've been having to like say, no, like, I still believe. Because God says now, this is happening now. Like that voice in the past, I'd see it and it felt like me and it felt so real and it felt so bad. And I would just, all right, guess it's not going to happen now. But now it's like, it is time. It is happening through me now. And it doesn't matter what that, because that voice is the internalization of someone else's voice that was trying to protect me in the past and telling me, you can't trust that. And I know where it's coming from. I can see the threads through my family and stuff. But thank God for these principles, because I'm diving. The same part of me that writes those lyrics, I just want that part to write my life. So you sharing your story has helped me. And I'm just wondering, like, what good is going to be bursting through for you too, Dakota? Because,
well, what you were talking about earlier about, like, being a little kid, I remember that too. I remember I'd have these really strong intuitions up towards, like, really probably have much healthier things than I ended up doing. And like, for me, a lot of it was like my mom would be like, no, that's wrong. And I'd be like 13. But also it was like just outside messages constantly telling you like, oh no, this healthy decision you're making or this going in this direction is like not what you should do. Like you should do all this other stuff. And I think you sort of learn to tune it out so that you can function properly around, like, fit in with your peers, right, or your family doesn't get whatever it is. And then it's like this whole struggle to try to like, okay, now I have to like reverse engineer, like get back, yeah, to that like loudness.
Yeah.
Well, and I think there's that other side, right? Of when I'm looking for that one dimensional voice that's like, well, tell me the Wizard of Oz, so to speak, yeah, voice, right? Yeah. Which is like, yeah, we look for that. But when I'm looking for a one dimensional, like a one dimensional voice like that, I'm looking there with my intellectual mind trying to find it. And like, I don't find spiritual direction through my intellectual mind. It's not where it comes from. It's the opposite of what that is, because it's all those voices of all these people who've told me, don't do this, and that's crazy, and you shouldn't be listening to your da 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 da. All that junk, right? That quenching that you were talking about. I'm looking for the thing that I'm trying to get away from, and it doesn't quite work. And it's the same, like, me and Daryl have talked about this a lot of times when it comes to like doing art, where it's like we'll get stuck and I'm like, I just don't know the next move. And the move is to put it down and go do anything else on the planet, and then you wait for that,
yeah,
divine inspiration to be able to come through, right? So instead of like looking like, what's my sign? What's my sign? What? Go do anything. Go shopping. Go walking. It doesn't even matter what you do. And it's like, once I can let go of that like stronghold that I have in my brain of that it has to look a certain way, and I just kind of set that on the table till later, then that's when I give room for the intuition to come in and be able, yeah, to speak to me in the way that yeah, I don't think it's going to come, because it never comes in the way that I think it's going to come, ever. Rarely.
It's interesting though, because like you and like Daryl do like a lot of visual art stuff, and then I actually write too, and I feel like the thought process, or like it's almost like a different experience. And I do wonder like how that plays out in terms of just like thinking or how you react to stuff, because I've seen both your art. It's very like, it's really different, but it's also like wonderful. And yeah, I don't know what that's even like to like do a painting. I have no idea conceptually what that would be like to finish a painting.
I don't know if it's any different than writing.
No.
Because I've written too. I think it's the same. I think once the creative spark and the creative flows goes, then it's just from one to the next to the next. Yeah. It's not about like, yeah, the what I think is irrelevant. It's That's in the right. creating that change. That...
Our friend Kirk Chelson, who's makes his living as a writer, you know, for TV, film. He's also a teacher.
He's a professor at a university. And yeah, he teaches screenwriting.
In Europe, at one of the top universities in the world on filmmaking.
Right.
And he says, and he tells his students that good writing is easy, bad writing is hard. Meaning, when he tries to come, he'll say this even now, being experienced and having shows done. He says over and over, he goes, oh, man, once I start struggling, I got to just say no. Time to stop, go eat, walk the dog.
Yeah.
Because he's learned, but it still happens where you start arm wrestling with it, thinking that's the way. I just got to go, no.
It's just like what you said, when you were going to draw the arm, it should go this way.
Yeah.
When I'm creating art like that, I hate it. I hate it. It doesn't work. Nothing.
It's hard. That's
even when it's
hard.
Exactly in proportion and it looks right, it's horrible and I hate it.
Yes. It doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I was going to talk about? Intellectuals, if you go to art school, will tell you, there's movements in art. There's this period, You know, there's this period, there's this period.
Like art history sort of stuff.
Yeah, you know, there's cubism.
Yeah.
You know, then there's, I can't even think of them all now, the impressionists. There's all these different movements in art. And I started going back and going, well, wait a minute, because I know some stories about some of these artists, and some artists are considered great imitators, but not, no, great, yeah, imitators, but not innovators. So I started going, wait a minute, this is what happens. This is how a movement starts. One oddball, because they say there's the cubism. Well, now this one oddball is like doing cubism, and he's going, ugh.
Yeah, so boring.
Boring, because he's just doing it from the outside. This is popular now. I've seen this. I think it's cool.
And all the experts are now, this is how you do it. This is clearly the way to do it.
But this one oddball follows his gut, draws something absurd, but because he loved the process of what he was doing,
the energy is in that work.
Some other artist sees that and goes, ooh. And it gives him permission to do something a little different.
Yeah.
So he'll do a variation of that. And now you have the start of another movement. But all these people in the, all these artists start burning themselves out because now they go from heart-centered, which is intuitive, to now it's academic and intellectual. Because now they're just replicating. And eventually you go, boring.
Yeah. And it's based on outside.
Yes.
What's that called?
Validation. Thank you. At that point. So it all has to be intuitive. And as long as we remain intuitive, well, then we're the best part is we're going to be happy and satisfied.
And, you know, being in stifling environments where sometimes the frustrated voice in me is actually just waiting, like, please, God, Ed, give me a voice. Let me tell you what we need to do, because that voice was mislabeled by people in my environment who wanted to hold all their stuff in. They were threatened by that voice, and they said, oh, that's just you being difficult. And that's just, and it's not. It's actually me being me.
And bringing a solution.
And as soon as I put that pen to paper and let that voice speak, it might start as frustration, but it quickly, like you just said, turns into the solution.
Because that's the inspiration.
That's the spirit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the spirit that can't be quenched. It's in me. And when it comes out, everyone knows it. And it can't be hidden. And that's what's so ridiculous about someone like myself or Daryl or Dakota. If we try to hide that and try to, it'll be normal. We're terrible.
We're in pain, psychic pain.
And we'll attract all these people who benefit from feeling powerful because someone, like, they feel like they're getting one over on it. You know, like, look at Ed. Like, I'm more powerful. And it's like, There's nothing more imbalanced than that, but the freedom comes from me expressing. I like so many people I work with, people call me for like counseling and stuff. Almost the first thing I tell them, they'll be like, oh, you know, I'm going through this thing and there's this part of me that's like this and that. And I'm like, well, can we hear from that part of you? Just let it talk about, let the feeling speak. Stop talking about the feeling. Let's hear what the feeling. And when I encourage them to do that with writing, that becomes the solution. The thing that seemed like the problem is actually the solution. It has the solution inside of it. And it feels like it's wrecking my world, but it's not. It's actually bringing my world to life.
The things that were wrecking it more than anything else, like you said, like your limiting beliefs from your mother, your limiting beliefs from your mother or from anyone else that started to shut that down because that was their impression of what was correct.
Right.
And they're the ones that, oh, you shouldn't do that. Oh, stop drawing. You're not that good. Oh, stop writing. You're not that good. Oh, that career is crazy because nobody makes any money. And then all of a sudden you're bogged down with these like false beliefs and perceptions of other human beings that aren't even yours. And then your voice is getting quenched by believing the voice of them. Same thing.
And that's the frustration. Because once I get down to I think it's this surface thing that's frustrating me. But then when I give it a voice, I realize, no, I'm just afraid. And now I could heal that. Yeah. Oh, it's just fear? Well, now I have compassion for myself.
That's the most positive outlook of fear I've ever heard anyone. Oh, it's just fear. I can solve that.
Well, because then I can be compassionate towards myself and reassure myself, oh, you're just afraid of X, Y, and Z? Well, screw it.
Yeah.
Go for it.
And you know, if it's not a bear chasing you, the fear is not really real. Right. So it doesn't really matter. It's kind of irrelevant once you realize it's fear. It's in the realization that it's fear that's where the freedom sits.
Yeah. And if you realize how many people are afraid all the time, it really is not that big of an issue. It's like being willing to just go out in the world imperfect with the fear and just like not catastrophize it. And realize it is just like what Daryl said. Oh, it's just like a little kid. You wouldn't be like, oh, how you're scared? What are you? You know, like, I mean, someone might, but like, it's just everyone has it. And the more we acknowledge it, the more it relaxes. Because when we become afraid of our fear, then it's like the fear goes, oh my God, I guess I'm real. I better be more afraid. That part of us, you know, like, but when we calm down, oh, you're just fear. And the antidote for fear is love. And when we love ourselves, that's why giving that part of ourselves a voice. I was thinking is so important because then we re-welcome like that part of ourselves that may not have been welcome in our family or in a school. We welcome it back into ourself. And that's what this is all about is the metaphysical meaning of the Bible, which is Jesus was, it's not to go out and convert the world, it's to convert the thoughts in our own head of disbelief, to convert all the different voices in our head that have given up on belief and have bought into fear. It's to convert ourselves into what in Christianity we call the inner Christ, which is whole and perfect and visionary and loving and free and the Father within us, that we're fully funded by the universe. We don't have to fear anyone. You know, we can heal anything and anyone just by being in alignment with who we are. The things around us naturally heal because all the things that need to be healed were illusions anyway. So when we recognize what's real, we're just automatically, the vibration around us raises and other people are blessed.
And that would kind of be the Littman's test here, right? Is that I'm looking for a sign like the reading was talking about. But realistically, once I kind of can let go of that fear and I start to just subtly shift the intention behind whatever it is, the sign is the feeling that I get inside behind the change of the action, right? It's like I'm not looking for a voice anymore. I'm just looking for I feel a little lighter. Oh, I feel like that might be. Right. And it's like the more I do it, like when you were saying, like I start writing and it feels ridiculous in the beginning, but then it's like as I keep writing, then it starts to flow.
Yes,
it starts to make sense.
Exactly.
And it's like that's the sign that I'm going in the right direction. Yeah. I'm looking for a sign this big, and maybe it's only a sign this big.
Right.
And like once I follow this little sign, the signs start to get bigger, right? What's that reading? I think it's an Alan Cohen. Getting warmer, getting warmer,
yes.
Getting warmer, or getting colder is the universe's way of saying, like, you're on the right path or the wrong path.
Yeah.
And you know what's crazy about giving it a voice when I'm writing? And this is one of the little tricks I learned from Spiritual Psychology Master's Program was a lot of us know that we can freeform write, let it out, let all that stuff come out, right? But not a lot of us know that we can also then write back, thank you for telling me how you feel. And that voice will go, what do you mean? And I'll say, I hear you have a lot of energy moving, and I'm really happy you're letting it out. Really? What do you mean? You know, like, no, it's actually awesome because I was thinking about the word frustration. Frustration wouldn't exist if there wasn't a power that was trying to come through to be frustrated, right? So underneath it, there's something just by the very fact that there is frustration shows some energy, because frustration of energy is just withholding, trying to hold back something that wants to move, you know?
I love that you said that, because I've done this a bunch of times, and I've had a bunch of people that I work with that I've had do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have that idea of writing and kind of letting things out or whatnot. And years ago, someone taught this to me that I'll write a letter to God. Dear God, blah, 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 blah. Express whatever it is that I'm trying to express in like a prayer form. But then instead of just sending a letter to God, when I'm done, I'll write another letter, Dear Stephen, and it's from God.
Yes.
And the things that come out, I'm like, I didn't even know that. Like, I didn't even know to say those things.
Right.
And that kind of lets me off the hook to get into that intuitive idea or that intuitive thing that's going to lead me into the next direction that I have to go.
There's a technique in psychology called, psychology before they took spirit out of it.
Because it means study of the soul.
Yeah, study of the soul.
That's what psychology
My dad talks about this because he's a therapist, and he was like, they talk about evidence-based practices, and he's like, they've shown that that's like 1% of effectiveness. It doesn't matter what techniques you use. It doesn't matter like any of this stuff. What matters is the relationship you form with the person you're working with.
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't actually, we've commodified psychology and like collised it and turned it over to insurance companies and whatever, all this other stuff. And taking the humanity out of it.
Totally. Carl Rogers was human-centered, person-centered psychology, one of the fathers of modern psychology as well, with other people we've talked about. But his one, empathy and unconditional positive regard for whoever you're talking to, including ourselves, is like the number one thing that he banked on. Just sitting there, loving the person, letting them speak, listening to them. What I find when we do this is we hear that you already have the answer. Because when I look at it, like when I'm listening and counseling someone, like I'm looking at Stephen, his life's happening all around him. He's in the, I'm in the front of my life. It's hard to see all this stuff. I know it, but I don't always value the thing. But now when I'm hearing Stephen talk, he'll always keep talking about the solution, even, but he's not yet accepted it fully or given himself permission. Daryl does this. Like, it's like, so when I'm watching someone, it's like I start to see the movie and they're in the front of it. And I go, well, you keep mentioning that. Oh my God, I can't believe you said that. And I'm like, and it's always like, I can't believe you mentioned it. I'm like, well, you kept saying it. Not something I like came up with, you know?
What's that reading? I'm sure you guys have read this before. It's either Cohen or someone. And he talks about the psychologist where somebody comes into his office and he's talking about him. And then at the end, they're like, he's the greatest psychologist ever. And then they ask him like, how did you become such a good psychologist? And he said, well, I just learned this years ago that when my clients come in, I just take my hearing aids out and set them on the table. And then when they leave, I put them back in and they think I'm the best listener ever. And it's like, I'll just give them permission to be able to talk, to be able to like hear what's happening. So they, cause they have their own solution.
Yeah. It's, and the more we accept these things as principle, I used to be very like, I didn't like that word principle. People would say God in this teaching, God is principle. And I was like, what the hell? That sounds like cold. Or, but what it really means is that like when I'm working with someone, no matter how much you buy into these beliefs that you have a problem, it can't be solved. If I've done my own work on my own stuff, especially each day like we do, then when I sit in front of you, it's just like, okay, I'm just listening to myself. I do it with little kids even. I see little kids and they're like, I ain't being here. And I look at me and I go, me too. And
that's the little you and that's the little you and you, basically.
Yeah. And then the healing begins. Like I've seen kids that don't speak to anyone else, but I check in with them. I go, I know exactly what you're going through. Even if they're like, this place sucks. Like, I totally get it. And then it might take time, but over time, like they just start turning into a different person. It's the same, this is what I've been saying lately, the same data, like they have the same issues, but I'm coming to a very different conclusion about who they are and what's possible for them. With the same exact, I go, I know what it is. It's not at all, they need more right reading practice or right, you know, and they'll get that eventually, but they really need someone to look them in the eye and hear that they're having that nightmare and go, okay, I've had the same nightmare. We're okay.
Yeah.
We're going to get through this. It's not actually stopping you from being you. You can still be you. And even if it's just you and I who know that, each day we're going to check in and we're going to know that together. And that's how miracles. I mean, that's why we love the show. That's why, like, there's no substitute for hanging out with other people who know who they really are, or at least part of the time, because none of us do all of the time. But, like, because if I'm talking to Bruni, I know it's only going to be a few moments before we're in agreement on these principles, on these teachings. And if I talk to Daryl, we're not going to pull each other down into inadvertently, even by sympathizing, you know, because sympathy means like vibrate, sympathetic tones vibrate at the same frequency. Empathy is different than sympathizing. Sympathizing can bring us down into the, if we're not careful. It will, every time it will, if we don't anchor ourselves and then let everyone else have their own experience. But empathy is the ability to hear and see what someone else is going through all the way up to the point where I still know it's not happening to me. And I didn't realize this until recently, why this... See, Carl Rogers, the psychologist, said this is the number one thing for teachers, psychologists, anyone like us that work with people. Empathy is number one, he said. And a lot of the credentialing that's leading people to become those things now that you have to go through is not good for empathetic people, and you're going to push away the people who are good at this stuff.
Yeah.
But that's just beside the point. But only recently did I realize what that means. It means when I sit with a kid, I'm not thinking these numbers. Like, you know, I'm not thinking of, I'm like looking at them when they're learning and I'm feeling, and Daryl's like, I'm feeling, and that's why he's so good at working with people. I'm feeling what I can see where the hook, the hang up is in the learning, because I'm feeling like I'm them in that moment. I'm looking through their eyes. And then I'm addressing something way different, because now it might be something like they got in an argument with someone. Their mind's not even on the reading. So instead of addressing the reading, let's get your mind off of that thing that's taking all your attention, so you're not even here with me. Let's bring you into the room. Now let's try again. And then a lot of times you get a totally better result, because now they're present, right? Like, there's so many creative, sensitive people like ourselves who are misjudged because we felt so uncomfortable in these testing situations or in these moments when we were being assessed, you know? And I learned long ago, I don't want to reteach someone something they already know, but they're just not bringing it out in this situation. Let's activate that, and then let's see who we really have, and then we can actually start getting somewhere. And that's the genius, and that's the genuine.
Yeah, inside.
Yeah. Because I've been at meetings where I'm like, the kid I know does these things, and the kid they're talking about doesn't. I'm like, we're talking about two different people, because the one I know has a limitless spirit that I talk to that, not just, like, another thing in spiritual psychology is, like, they call the ego the body, your mind, and your emotions. If you don't have an ego, you don't exist on this planet. It's just your body, your mind, and your emotions. Underneath all of that, you have an authentic self, a changeless self, the genie. And when we connect with this, like Daryl says, spirit, it's another version of pies. When we connect with our spirituality, all of this lines itself up naturally. If we try to make changes up here, like it's just like kind of moving around fixed amount of things. You know, it's like move this here, move that there. But when we connect with our authentic self, then these things kind of automatically will realign themselves. And this is when I think people who fight with their ego, what they really mean is when we think we're just this, that's the ego that runs ragged. That's the ego that thinks there is no authentic self. It thinks it's just my mind, my body, and my emotions. It forgets about this magic. That's when things really go off the rails.
Yeah, that reminds me of this thing you say sometimes when you say move a muscle, change an emotion.
Oh, yeah. I didn't, yeah, someone told that to me years ago. It's a game changer.
Yeah, totally.
And Stephen used to say this thing, too, like about problems. It's probably, you haven't said it in a while, where, like, if you have this problem going on over here, and I think it's applicable to just, like, daily life problems, but also on, like, a grander scale, and I'm just like, I got to fix this problem. He's like, go over here and be here. Yeah. And then eventually, like, if you be here, which is not trying to solve my problem, not like trying to control, like letting it go, eventually this problem takes care of itself. And then I forget it was like even there in the first place. You can correct me if I'm like not saying
it's close
exactly
enough, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the same thing we were talking about with the art and with everything else. It's like when I get stuck, I got to get out of the stuckness. And it's the same thing they talk about with everything in metaphysical, right? And it's like, where's the cause? Where's the cause? Where's the cause? And it's like, I can't focus on the problem. I have to focus on the cause. And once the cause is solved, then there is no more problem because I know I have no problems.
Same thing.
It's amazing how doing little things change the big things. Like, that aren't related.
Yeah.
Like the other day, I was not feeling well. So how you clean the toilet? Oh, I'm not feeling well. And I just said, no, and then my mind clicked. Oh, this is going to be fun. It takes five to 10 minutes to clean the toilet, but our mind makes it seem like it's going to be some giant job. And I do it. I start feeling high as a kite. And then I start organizing a little even more high. Then the whole thing, my whole perspective about anything else flipped like 180 degrees to where nothing I was thinking about before that seemed so horrible or unattainable or just out of my reach. Now all that stuff just dropped down into nothingness.
Well, that's what makes it hard about working within, what do you call them, at stifling situations or something, is that you're not allowed to like bring that in. It's like you have to follow some formula or stay in some box, and you can't be like, no, let's go over here. Let's do this other thing and forget about where we're at for a while.
Right.
But like you said, it's not always... So I have to sometimes it takes some convincing for me to get into that spot.
Yeah.
And I remember recently, like at my house, I'm not the one, I'll do the dishes, but I don't put the dishes away. I don't really care for it. I don't really care for folding laundry, but I'll do the laundry. So we have our, the things that we both do that work, right? And I can remember thinking when I was sitting in my chair after I had an accident, and I was thinking, like, I can't wait till I can get up and help. I can't wait till I can just, like, be Isn't part of the helping thing. Yeah. And then, like, maybe a week ago, I remember looking at it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do the dishes. And I was like, oh, the dishwasher's full. I have to wait for her to empty the dishwasher. And I was like, eh. I couldn't wait to help a month ago. Like, maybe I should just empty the dishwasher. And then all of a sudden, right. I'm just moving, and I'm not focused on, like, whose role is what anymore. If I'm happy, if I'm not, I'm just in the doing. I'm in the magic of, like, life, if you will. Yeah. I'm just being a part of whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not always easy.
No.
That's the work. The work is turning my idea that, oh, this is going to be a drag. Oh, I don't really want to do this. Whatever negative thought process I'm in, it's always in the turning of the thought towards the problem that makes the problem go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Eric Butterworth and others talk about, treating the condition. Treating the concern first, not the condition. Get rid of the level of concern in here before taking any action on the condition. And then
how? That's a perpetual question. It's like, how?
Yeah. But the question really is, oh, how am I going to do that right now? Okay. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm going to call Bruni, or right
whatever's
now,
in front
I'm
going
to take a walk.
So whatever's
right now,
in front
I'm going to empty,
always.
Like I did the same thing. I'm going to empty the dishwasher. And just being willing to do the dumb little thing that comes up when I ask myself how.
Yeah.
And having faith that it's going to work, and it works every time.
Well, that's intuition telling you what to do.
Yeah.
And the solution rarely looks like that. The solution rarely feels like that's what the solution should be.
Yeah.
It's always in the dumb little things that build up the character of the big
change. Because it was my intuition that said, oh, you could clean the toilet. And then it was me quenching that, going, yeah, but I don't feel well. Or it's going to be a big job. I should do that another day. But then I just went with it, and it made me feel great.
Right.
I don't know why. It doesn't matter. But it cured all the problems I thought I had prior to doing that.
Yeah. When I first met Steven, like, years ago, and we started doing all this, like, spiritual stuff, and I just remember calling him and being like, I just feel like I should do this. And he was like, okay, great, do that. Let me know when it's done.
Yeah.
And then I would be like, I just feel like I should do this. And he'd be like, okay, great, do that. Let me know when it's done. Yeah. And eventually, enough times with enough guidance, like, it led to being really happy, but it does take a lot of, like, little baby steps of just, like,
and I think the questioner that's inside me is the critic.
Yes.
Right. So, and it's like, I have to be able to quench that critic and know the difference between those two things,
because
I have the intuition and I have the critic, and the critic is what's the use? You know, that's the critic. I know it because the voice feels different. But as soon as I say, no, we're not going to question anything, we're just going to go, then that voice gets quieter, and then the intuitive voice gets louder.
And that's when I know the intuitive voice is getting louder, because as I'm moving, I feel happier. Yep. And my problems seem less.
And there's the sign. There's the sign that I'm moving in the right direction based on the feeling that I have inside.
I just forget. Sometimes, like, I'll think that in the past I just went from, like, here to there with no baby steps. I'm like, what do you mean? I just, like, woke up and was meditating all the time. And it's like, no, you kind of have to, like, inch towards it. And it takes a while. And that's...
But you just have to use that same theory on my every day, and then from every day to every situation, right? Because, like, I can think, like, oh, in the last 12 years I've gotten from here to here, but there was these smaller steps that it took.
Yeah.
So it's like, in the day when I'm in a funk, I do the same thing. Well, how do I get from here to here? Well, it's like, I can't just get from here to here. It's going to take cleaning the toilet, doing the dishes, and then all of a sudden it starts to move, and then I'm here, and then over time it looks like this.
And
so I just have to back engineer, like, reverse engineer the same thing that I've already done.
Yeah, I can't always just draw or paint or make something and feel good about myself. Sometimes it's just encouraging myself to start doing something, a drawing or something like that, and I start feeling great about it and myself. Other times it's doing things totally unrelated to that that make me feel so good. I get inspired to start something. It could be a writing or a drawing. But it's the little things that intuition, like this reading says, and when it says callings, it just means these little nudges. It doesn't have to be like, you're going to be, you know.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. So not all callings feel logical or make sense. Sometimes I feel called. You could say inspired to do something I would not consciously choose, like cleaning the toilet. Yet I feel I have no real choice. In these moments, I place my attention on the world beyond my senses. I pay attention to my guidance, which directs not only my steps, but also my heart. And that's why I like that. I never knew what that Bible verse, joy is the strength of the Lord. It means, listen, if you are following the joy of these silly ideas that seem unrelated to the success you want to have or think you should have, well, the joy you're going to feel in doing these simple things is going to attract that thing that won't come if you start fighting to get it or coming up with schemes to get it.
Yeah. When it was kind of like the little steps, right, that you were saying.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking of it when you were saying about like if you were drawing or something, and it made me get this like visualization of like when I'm going to draw something. And I think that most people get this idea of like, oh, when you draw, like if you just know how to draw, then you draw eyes and nose and a head, and this is the thing. And it's like, maybe some people can do that. That's not the way I draw. I'll draw and I'll draw a circle in a lighter color, and then I'll draw a line across the middle of it for the eyes, and then a reference line vertically to know which way the faces shine. And then I'll start to block things out so I can have shapes, yeah, and then build on those, yeah, shapes. And then at the end of it, oh my God, it turned into a face. And it's the same way with like these intuitive nudges. By the time I have all these intuitive nudges, the big step looks like this, but all these little steps didn't, yeah, look anything like that.
That's a pretty good analogy, honestly, especially if you've ever just like gone on YouTube and drawn a face, which I have. You know, yeah, they'll like, do the line here. Draw a circle.
Yeah.
Draw another circle. Well, erase this part.
That's life. Like, that's it's the same thing.
Yeah.
I was gonna say baby steps are life.
Yeah.
I mean, the baby steps are the things I enjoy way more than ever now. It's like I used to think it was, oh, only when I was making music, it almost killed me living that way. But now that I enjoy going to Volkswagen, enjoy drinking coffee, enjoy writing in my journal, you realize all of it, I mean, all of it is a blessing. Even in The Wizard of Oz, what did she learn? That she was already home and there was nowhere she was. I just want to be myself. Mm. I just want to be, please, God, let me go back to being myself. I don't need any of this. And the whole place was a sham anyway.
And then I think that, like, the nitrous, if you will, for that, meaning like the nitrous oxide you'd have in your car, is like once you introduce that gratitude piece inside that, then it just kicks, yeah, everything up a notch. Like, I, yeah, get to go here. I get to do, yeah, my taxes. And it's just like, ugh, I don't want to do any of that. And it's like, I can have that attitude. I'm not going to really reap too much from doing those things except, yes, for the fact that they're done. But when I'm like, I get to do this, I get to, then all of a sudden the cumulative of all that gives me a piece, yeah, of joy from doing it.
I got to click my brain over.
Yeah.
Well, you know what happened to the evil wizard when Santa Claus met him?
What happened?
You saw the show. That little Banking and Rast.
Oh, yeah.
Where the evil wizard
put
was
one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, he was going to cancel Christmas. But then Santa Claus meets him. This is the evil wizard. Santa, mm-hmm, Claus meets him. Young Kris Kringle. This was before he had gray hair, by the way. He had red hair.
He was nice and trim.
Yeah, he was a little trim, and he, the wizard, finally breaks down in front of Kris Kringle, goes, I'm so rotten, I could never be good.
Yeah.
And he goes, no, you could be good. Oh, it'd be impossible. I've been rotten for so long.
You look like one of those dudes.
I might as well just give up. Well, that's because I'm really feeling the story.
I love it.
And then,
that's why I love your story. Too.
And then Kris Kringle says, no, it's easy. All you got to do is put one foot in front of the other. Do, 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 do.
Yeah.
Soon you'll be walking across the floor.
Might have a new song for today.
You know what?
Soon you'll be walking out the door, he says at the end.
The question I've been asking myself is like, what would the part of me that doesn't have a problem be doing right now?
Yes.
Why don't I go and do that? Right?
Well, you know what Lori said to me one day? I was concerned about something. This is Lori's my wife. I was concerned about something. And she said, well, how would you feel if you weren't concerned about that thing?
Yeah.
And I said, I feel great.
Yeah.
And I got it. I was like, you're right.
Yeah.
Because you
cognitive
realize
behavioral therapy in a nutshell.
Because you realize everything else is fine.
Yeah. Yeah. We think when I have a problem, I'm going, help me, I have a problem. But what I'm really doing, because I have dominion over my experience, is going, I have a problem,
I was going to say creating the problem.
Yeah. Creating, yeah, the problem with the voice.
Reinforcing it, yeah.
And because it's the same voice that created it in the first place, too.
Yes.
That it's, and then it's going around, I have a problem. And we think, why do I keep having, and because you know certain people have certain problems that keep repeating the same kind of problem, and it's because they've gotten into their identity that that's who they are. And so releasing that voice, what would the part of me that does not have any problems, or in your case, doesn't have any concerns, be doing right now?
And I just thought about the funniest thing, like, because I had the visualization of you know, me or you or anyone else. I have a problem. And at the end of the day, guess what? Nobody cares.
No one cares.
Like, you care. No one else cares.
Yeah, it's just a waste of energy.
Yeah, all you're doing is dragging you down.
Right.
No one likes the guy running around. No. I have a problem.
You know who likes you?
Get me away from him.
The people who start to like you are the ones, I have a stable of little people with problems that I get to help, and I'm such a great friend. It's like, that's why the show is called What's New. And the flip side of what's, like, there's a joyous side. What's new? I wonder what I can do now. Yeah. What's new? So-and-so has the same friggin' problem they always have. What's new? You know, someone who's stuck in the problem. It's either what's new or what's new. I wonder what's new right now.
They do the same thing in 12-step programs, right?
Yeah.
Oh, one day at a time. Or it's one day at a time.
Yeah.
Yeah, both things, they mean completely, totally. Completely different, but they're the same thing.
All right. Well, we got to wrap up the show. Here's my thank you journal. I carry it everywhere now. Like, I just wrote thank you for the perfect show, the perfect ending to the show. Everything, anything, because it is really about a different frequency. And on that frequency, it's all good, and it just keeps getting better. So.
Are we going to let them read this?
Well, we have a reading. Do they
it's
have
very
a reading?
Short.
Dakota's on it.
It's just this, Dakota.
Just that. Okay, got it.
This is a good one.
It says reading, so it makes it nice and easy.
Yes, let's bring it home.
I now release the false self and welcome my true self. I know I am a beloved child of God. Don't try to be a copycat. Find yourself in your place in the world. There is a perfect right place for each of us. We all have special talents and abilities. None of us is alike, nor should we be. Our Creator wisely filled the world with variety. Don't make it your goal to conform, yet don't make it your goal to be different either. Just be yourself. You are unique and wonderful just as you are. In order to express our true self to the fullest, we must clear out the false self, the copycat self, the little prejudiced, egotistical self, and allow the light of our spiritual self to shine through us. Our true self is loving, wise, creative, happy, and prosperous, and greatly needed to fill the purpose for which we came into the world. Dare to be yourself. Dare to really live. Rekindle the gift of God that is within in you. 2 Timothy 1:6.
You know what the most interesting thing about this is? Every time I come on this show, we always have no idea. We've read this before, but we completely forget about it, have nothing to do with it. Completely forget about it. And then by the end of the show, when it gets read, we just did everything that it said in that reading. Every single time, by the time it comes back, you're like, that was the whole show in a nutshell. Yeah. Didn't even plan that.
I know.
Funniest thing.
I was sitting there, I'm going, wait. That was in that reading, right?
Yeah. I thought the same thing.
I'm going, holy cow, that was in that reading?
We nailed it.
Well, we got a story about you, too, because they were talking about traveling.
Yeah, you last thing, too. You know we're talking about the right stuff, because when we start talking about these principles, and this is why when two or more are gathered, it works, and because they start talking back to us.
Like,
the principles we're talking about start talking back to us. The spirit of Joyce Kramer just came through and was like,
she said, good job. You guys
good
did
job.
It.
You
guys
did it. Yeah, nicely done. All right. So Bruni and Dakota piled their luggage on the scale at an airline counter at LAX. Dakota said to the ticket agent,
we're flying to Los Angeles. We want the large bag sent to Denver and the two small ones to Cincinnati.
The agent replied,
I'm sorry, we can't do that.
Bruni smiled.
That's good to hear. Because that's where they ended up the last time we flew this route.
All right.
Well, Ed's very excited. This was one of his favorite little ditties.
Is it by Jonathan Dalton? Andrew Dalton?
David Naughton.
David Naughton.
It was a TV show that didn't live more than 6 weeks, but this theme song went on to be a top 40 hit.
Oh, man, it's a New Thought classic.
It is a New Thought.
It's metaphysics in a nutshell.
Are you going to be able to kick
making it? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Making it. I'm solid gold.
I've got the goods. They stand when I walk through the neighborhoods. I'm making it. I've got the chance. I'm taking it. No more. No more faking it. This time in life, I'm making it. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Making it.
Bruni, we love you. Santa, we love you.
Visit DarylandEd.com to find easy links to everything we do.
Show me we love you. Indeed.
Listen, everyone here. This coming year's gonna be my year. I'm as bad as they come. Number two to no one. I've got looks, I've got brains, and I'm breaking these chains. Make some room now. Dig what you see. Success is mine, cause I've got the key. I'm making it. I've got the chance. I'm taking it. No more, no more faking it. This time in life, I'm making it. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Making it. Woo-hoo! All right. We love you.
Thank you for listening to The Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed. Listen in as these unlikely saints share more real-life stories of how surrendering to divine order always leads to better-than-expected outcomes. This program has been made possible by God through automated monthly transfers from Daryl and Ed's credit cards.
Recording your podcast at home or using cheap gear or spending all your time editing or
here at Chobo, we have podcast studios, podcast editing, podcast distribution, podcast clips, and don't forget the snack bar. Completely automate your podcast or just delegate the work you don't want to do.